fighting for America.
Not only do we have to win this legal fight, but we're still going to have to pass a law through Congress. The bottom line is, Jose, that I'm using all of the legal power vested in me.
Fighting for Idaho.
We're in a kind of situation where, the end of the Roman Republic 2,000 years ago, and it's very disturbing, completely apart from the substance of immigration policy.
Fighting for you.
Thank goodness that you're there to at least allow us a voice. We need that. And we love you, brother. And we love the guests that you bring on. You're amazing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. Boy, if you just missed it, here you have Cornell. Ivy League institution. Pretty prestigious, right? So, let's say you send your kid to Cornell. Maybe you go to Cornell. Maybe you get through all the rigmaroles and everything else. Because you can't just get into Cornell. You have to have the grades. You have to have the community service projects. By the way, I was reading about this in one of those business magazines. There's a guy who's a Chinese immigrant that guarantees your kid acceptance into the school of your choice. And I think it costs 50 grand or 100 grand for Ivy League institutions. So you have all these big muckety-muck business people, most of them from China, sending their kids to this guy who games the system. So, okay, you're working. Maybe you come from humble origins. Maybe your kid or you, this is the first college graduate ever in your family, right? So you're at Cornell, Ivy League institution. You should be able to print money with a degree from there. And the commencement speech is from Melissa Harris Perry. You're going, oh, wow, she's the Tulane University professor on MSNBC. That's a huge get. And here's what she has to say about America.
I hope he tried to stay alive. I hope he knew that he lived in a state with a stand your ground law. And I hope he whooped the out of George Zimmerman. Yeah. And it's not his recklessness. Because he encountered a stranger who was prepared to kill him. And he...
Now, we'll get back to her in a minute. But here you have someone representing Comcast, GE, MSNBC, advocating violence. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Joining us now, our great friend, Senator Risch. Senator Risch, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Living the dream. And you, sir?
Well, it was a blizzard here in D.C. this morning. These people don't take this very well.
Well, I bet you wish you were home. As you know, you were just here. No snow.
Yeah. Well, we do need a little moisture. Some of our friends from Maine and New Hampshire, I told them to send us a little because they're crying the blues. They've had lots and lots this winter.
They certainly are. Senator, let's start with the big statement last week with you, Senator Crapo, and others about the future of Gowan Field. Your thoughts?
Well, Gowan's a great facility and has been since World War II. The roads and everything around it are named after things that relate to World War II, like Victory Road and others. It's played an important role in the military, and be ashamed to waste those facilities. The guard unit there has had a mission from time to time. It varied, but most recently it's been the A-10. The A-10, unfortunately, is a platform that is aging dramatically and will be phased out in favor of the F-35. Frankly, I disagree with that. They're putting all their eggs in the basket of the F-35, which will be a bomber, a fighter, a close air support. Pretty tough for one platform to do all of those. But in any event, the military made that decision. The problem is they're so short of money that they're trying to bring the F-35 platform on board. And as a result of that, they need more money. So what are they doing? They're retiring the A-10 before they have the F-35 in place to replace it. So what we've been pressing to do is to keep in fact, we were very successful last year in that they wanted to start ending it last year, and we stopped it through the appropriating process and said that they were going to have to keep it another year, but of course we're just fending it off year by year. Having said all that, the F-35 would be a great mission for Gowan Field, and for that matter, for Mountain Home also. And that's something we're pressing with the Air Force. Frankly, with the facilities we have, both at Gowan and at Mountain Home, it's hard for me to conceive that we're going to be down to a zero mission. There's going to be a mission. It's just that the Air Force right now is going through the throes that it goes through as it tries to go forward and do what it does. So they're still sorting this out, and we're doing our best to press both Gowan and Mountain Home. And at the end of the day, I think we're going to be successful.
Well, Senator, as you've pointed out, and others as well, I mean, there is really no successor to the A-10. You have the F-15 Eagle, if you will, close air support, but the A-10 really is a friend to the troops. Don't you think that influential people like you and Senator Crapo and Ayotte and McCain can keep this thing running for quite some time?
Well, I don't know if it'll be quite some time. It's a factor of money, and with the F-35 gobbling up as much money as it is, it's going to be difficult. You know, the interesting thing about that A-10 is it is a loved aircraft. We held Senator Ayotte, Senator McCain, and I hosted a reception and a rally and then a news conference in support of the A-10 here some months ago. I was shocked at how many people stepped up and how many military people were there that told stories about how their bacon was saved by the A-10 when they were fighting on the ground. So it is a great aircraft. It's really unfortunate to see that. But having said all that, as you know, the U.S. is our military is so far advanced from every other military in the world. The only way that happens is if you keep moving forward and developing new platforms, and that's of course what's been happening. And change is always difficult, but it is what it is.
Senator, I'd love to talk about something else, but you know, I know you're concerned about ISIS and Iran and Pastor Saeed, but you're also concerned about how the administration is cutting our ability, as you've discussed and covered, to defend ourselves with these cuts to the defense budget.
That's true. They love cutting defense, and we're fighting them tooth and nail all the way. We're living in a dangerous world, and just about the time you think that you got things under control, it's kind of like the game of whack-a-mole. Every time you knock it down, it rears its head somewhere else, and it's things we don't have control over, but that we've got to do. You know, I'm so sick and tired, and I think most Americans are, of fighting in places we don't want to fight and something we want to continue doing. We just want to live in peace and be left alone. But, you know, this ISIS organization, we thought we had troubles with Al-Qaeda, and it turns out that they were poor boys compared to ISIS. Everybody has seen them beheading and everything else on TV, and they are attempting to form a caliphate, which is an area of the world that is controlled by radical Islamic religious practices, Sharia law, and of course devoid of Christians and any other religious view that is not radical Islam. And when they do that, their stated goal is to have this caliphate in what was the old Levant, which is now Syria and Iraq and Palestine and Jordan and other areas. Once they do that, they want to move out and move against the Western target. And of course, we see when they say that, they mean it. I mean, you look what they're doing right now with the purging that they're doing of Christians and others that are in the caliphate. They're kidnapping them, they're beheading them, they're doing all these things. And you know, you want to just turn your head and leave it alone, but they're coming here next, and they're already reaching out. I mean, we saw what happened in Paris and in Belgium and other places around the world where they're not the kind of attacks that we had on 9/11, but they're certainly things that cause terror and kill Westerners. And it's just a mess. But unfortunately, having said that, there's something that's got to be done. And I think we're still in the throes of exactly what level that's going to be.
Senator Risch with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about the move to stave off the president declaring the Boulder White Clouds a national monument. You've joined Representative Simpson, you have for years, to try and make sure that the state maintains control of those lands. How's that process going, sir?
Well, you know, this is Mike Simpson's got to get the credit on this. I mean, he has worked for 10 years to do something over there and has tried to satisfy everyone. At the outset, this should have been done 10 years ago. And he had a bill that was put together that was an Idaho bill. It had all of the stakeholders signed on. You know, whenever you do this, nobody's happy. But there, you get to the point where people say, okay, we can live with this. He had that done about 10 years ago, came back to D.C., and they pulled the carpet out from underneath them, the Enviros did, and gave the thing a left-wing, a radical environmental bent. And I was the one that threw the wrench in then and said, look, this is the way we do things in Idaho. So some time's gone by, and Mike's gone back to the drawing boards and redone it and brought all these people back to the table again, and now really has people happy. It's a scaled down version of what he had before, but I think at this point, where most people, not necessarily all, but most people, the vast majority of people are accepting of this, and I think it's a much better alternative than having the president do a monument. That is an overreach of presidential power, in my judgment. I don't know why Congress ever gave a president the power to declare monuments. I think they were thinking of a monument along Pennsylvania Avenue or something to Civil War veterans, not hundreds of thousands or millions of acres. But nonetheless, that law does exist, and, of course, he's threatening to do that there, and it would be very much different than what Congressman Simpson has put together.
Senator Jim Risch with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. We've covered ISIS, we've covered the Gowan, and now the Boulder White Clouds. Senator, we take a look at the budget. How are we doing as far as, you know, making sure that we're going to have an economic future? We keep printing money, which economically, as you know, doesn't make sense.
Well, they're not actually printing, Kevin. I mean, it's actual borrowing. I've gone and watched them do this, and it's got to stop. There's no question about it. We're doing better, but we got a long, long way to go, and we're going to continue fighting for that.
Senator, anything else you'd like to share with us here back home?
You know, I've got lots and lots of Idaho people here this month and next month. I think I met with 16 Idaho groups yesterday, and today they got another dozen or more for me to meet with, and that's good. I like the Seattle people, and they bring their concerns and their groups' wish list when they come to Idaho, what they want the government to do, or in most instances, what they want the government not to do to them. And it's important that I do meet with them and listen to them. And that's what my day looks like here for the next several weeks. And I'm glad to do it. So, Kevin, thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
Senator, have fun with the snow.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
There we have it, Senator Risch with us here at 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Good morning, Kevin. I listen to you every morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm so glad you're talking about this.
I just want to take a quick second to tell you how much I appreciate your heart and your spirit.
Everything's going to be okay, regardless of who's leading this country. This is in God's hands.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Radio, 7:25. Thank you for joining us, K Millie, in the morning. So there you had Senator Risch making his statements concerning the defense of the A-10. By the way, a story in the Boise Weekly, very similar to what we're doing as far as covering the Gowan situation. Those of you just tuning in, or maybe you're not familiar with, you know, how important Gowan Field is to us. We have, you know, the Army Guard, the Air Guard, a lot of civilians that work there, massive amount of economic development at Gowan. And you have a situation, and, you know, perhaps I should have asked the senator about this, that the administration is looking for targets. They're looking for another round of base closures, and you know, during the president's resume tour, we could actually see more bases closing. So you take a look at the red state that is Idaho. Remember, when we're talking about Idaho, we are the reddest of the red, if you will. When we're talking about conservatism and values, and a lot of folks believe that we're not conservative enough, and we have those debates back and forth here at 580 KIDO. But Governor Otter, what do you think?
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America. Let's stay that way. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, if you're the reddest of the red, chances are you're not going to get the green from the blue, if you know what I'm saying. So Mayor Dave Beter has recognized this. Of course, we've been talking about the possible cuts to Gowan for about 2 years now, but the mayor should get credit for coming up with his website, Gowan Strong. You have the senators, you have Bill Connors from the Chamber of Commerce and others who had a news conference last week, and we covered that with How to Save Gowan Field at 580 KIDO. My thought is there are two things that are going to happen. I cover those in the blog, and one of them kind of is good. We got the source from inside Washington, D.C. The other one, we got inside Gowan Field. So, you know, I don't think that it's the A-10 is over, but I do believe that more of an effort should be made. Now, when the Secretary of the Air Force was here, I don't think she cares that people from Boise or Meridian or Caldwell are going to have to drive to Mountain Home. They're looking for cost-cutting, cost savings. That's where we're at. We're talking about the viability of the Treasure Valley, the viability of Idaho, for that matter. People are saying that, you know, the population is going to double in 20 years. Well, if that's the case, you've got to have economic engines, and those are good jobs at Gowan Field. Let's hope that we can protect them. I believe that the senators, they know how to network. They know how to make the deals, and that's what it's going to come down to. You know, everybody's talking about House of Cards. In fact, I was telling this to Mrs. Miller. Now, Mrs. Miller, she runs a business. She has two beautiful daughters. She works very hard. She has a life, unlike yours truly, that I live for you. You are my life. It's been that way for over 20 years. So we're watching House of Cards on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix or Hulu or whatever, it's the best investment you can make to numb your mind for $8 a month. Anyway, so we're watching season one of House of Cards, of how deals are actually made. Now, it's a hyped up version of what happens in Congress, but you make deals. And as we alluded to with Senator Risch, it's time to make a deal. You've got John McCain, you've got Senator Crapo, you've got others, Kelly Ayotte, and who is she? She's from New Hampshire. The reason why I know her, we ran into her at the Republican convention, and she big-timed us. She was on the short list to be Romney's VP, former attorney general. Yes, that's right, another lawyer. That's what we need in Congress. But she has what they say is, you know, the power. So her, McCain, our senators should be able to take a look at the A-10 and keep it running. Now, the Air Force is saying they want to go with the F-35A. And the governor, if you missed that interview, you'll hear it again at 8 o'clock, talks a little bit about the F-35. The problem with the F-35, cost overruns, it isn't safe. The parts are made in China. That's right, the parts are made in China. And it should have been put into action 5 years ago. It's 5 years behind schedule. In fact, the F-35A has been such a boondoggle, and it was sold to us, sold to the people as a bill of goods, that we skipped a generation of fighters from the F-18 to the F-22, which their implementation into the fleet was stunted because of the F-35A. You really need to check out that blog that tells you, you've got a 60 Minutes piece. You've got a piece in there about Arizona, a link to an article in Arizona where if the fuel is too hot, the plane won't work. And now they're worried about the plane not working in the cold. So people are saying, hey, the F-35 is the way to go. There's a lot of problems with it that is not being reported. We did the research for you, and that's at 580kido.com under How to Save Gowan, or you can go to the Kevin Miller section. So that's what we're facing. The F-35A would be a great replacement here, or anywhere for that matter. And here's the other component. If you are looking to put in 400 of these $35 billion planes or whatever they cost, are you going to put them in a mountain home or a Wright-Patterson or somewhere in Texas, or are you going to put them in a guard unit? Certainly the active duty would probably get the first shot at that, which, again, you're not hearing. So we have to be realistic. Our first course of action to support our folks to save the A-10, and number two, to cut a deal to save the mission at Gowan. Look at what those folks did. And, again, Gowan is unique. You've got the Army Guard and you've got the Air Guard there. You've got the Apaches. You've got the A-10s. Look at what those folks did in those deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan that we were privileged to cover their heroic duty. Those guys make a difference. Those gals make a difference, and we should be there in our own self-interest economically and patriotically to protect it, right? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Coming up, Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio. We'll get the latest on the most dependable, reliable cars, plus a local story. The ACHD commissioners were very torn on a resolution that would allow prayer at meetings. And our friend Kimbra Shaw will join us from Love Incorporated to find out what you can do to help this local organization. But according to Channel 1 Plus 1, the Ada County Highway District commissioners voted to allow prayer in meetings, but it didn't come without opposition. Now, what's the problem with prayer in public meetings? And I've kind of become more conservative on this, because in the old days, I would say, well, if you allowed one prayer, you'd have to allow all prayers, right? We'll talk about that coming up here at 580KIDO. But here he is. I'm trying to figure out a way we can, like, segue into cars, but our friend Jeff Manasso from Fox Wheels, Fox News Radio at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you?
You know, I took a look at this. It's really interesting when we're talking about, what is it, the most dependable, reliable vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
Any surprises? And I guess let's just start with a few.
Well, Lexus was the overall overall brand in Consumer Reports' latest auto rankings. Fiat, no surprise, was the worst. But one of the things that I think that we can be proud of, and if you're a fan of the home team, U.S. automakers also placed three vehicles on the magazine's list of top picks for vehicles for the first time. That's happened in 17 years. Buick, made by GM, placed seventh in the brand rankings. The brand rankings at top picks were still dominated by, as we talked about, Japanese and German Japanese automakers, with Lexus, Mazda, and Toyota. Also with German manufacturers, Audi and Subaru also rank in the top five spots. I have the list of the top ten if you'd like those.
Yeah, from what I understand, Subaru did very well. Our friend Rob at Team Mazda will be happy about that, and our friends at Peterson Toyota. But it was kind of interesting, because at least initially, from what I saw, Subaru did very well.
Oh, best overall for the compact car, it was the Subaru Impreza. Best midsize car, the Subaru Legacy. Best small SUV, Subaru Forester. So yeah, Subaru hit it out of the park with this one. Best large car, the Chevy Impala. Green car, Toyota Prius. The luxury car that ranked the best was the Audi A6. And best sports sedan, we talked about Buick. The Buick Regal took that top spot. For the mid-sized SUV, it was the Toyota Highlander. And the minivan, you see these everywhere, the Honda Odyssey.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you think of the history of Lexus, how when they first came out, they were souped-up Camrys, and they've really just redefined luxury. When you have BMWs, when you have Cadillacs, when you have Mercedes, that you have a relatively young brand doing so well.
Well, there was a market for those, for other brands to take on, and to try and go after luxury brands, to try and eat up some of that market. And Lexus is done really well. There were some auto rankings that auto industry experts and at least four big Detroit automakers, or rather the big three, but four brands, aren't so proud of. Chrysler brand finishing 23rd in this report, followed by Ford, Dodge, and Jeep. These bottom brands all had poor reliability and models with low road test scores. Ford also showed a modest improvement as its infotainment system had fewer reliability problems. And one of the interesting things about Consumer Reports is you can really count on them. I mean, they buy these vehicles anonymously. Nobody knows who they are when they pick these things up off the showroom floor and take them out of the lot and start testing them. They perform more than 50 tests on these cars, including evaluations of braking, handling, and comfort. And the top picks must be at or near the top of the rankings in performance, reliability, and safety. So a big win for Subaru.
Well, and you think about the dichotomy there. You have Subaru, which is a very basic car that sells safety and reliability. And you have Toyota that, you know, safety and reliable. But, I mean, we test drove a Prius last year, and you know, depending on how the gas prices go, you actually make money on those things because it prints out, hey, this trip cost you 80 cents going, 20 miles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these green cars, I mean, they're you know, we talked, Kevin, from the Detroit Auto Show, green or at least fuel-efficient cars, electric cars, hybrid cars. I mean, it really is kind of becoming the wave of the future, especially when we saw gas prices so high the last several years. They've come down some, but we're starting to see those signs of the gas stations creep up.
And Jeff, as you mentioned, this is good news for Buick, which had been declared dead 3 or 4 years ago because it was the old people's car, and you see the ads, hey, here's my Buick, and the guy can't find it. So it's good news that they've done very well, and that should help keep some American jobs around.
Yeah, well, agreed, and it's actually the second big year for Buick. Buick's second consecutive year as the best of all domestic brands. So Buick did really well. Cadillac, by the way, GM's high-end brand.
Mm-hmm.
They spent a lot of time and money on some of these new brands, these new models, like the brand new CTS, which is an amazing car. But they finished 20th. Ahead of Mercedes-Benz, but behind, GM, the mainstream brand, which is Chevy.
Jeff Manasso, tough gig today, talking cars.
Yeah, I love it. I'm loving it.
Hey, what about A.J. Hawk? What happened there?
What happened? Did they cut him?
Yeah.
I've been in Texas covering a trial, and I just got back. Did they cut him? When did they cut him?
They cut him, I guess, last night. Nine years, I think, with the Packers.
I was traveling. You know what? I'm not surprised by it. I mean, he was, he's had a long run with the Packers. Some would argue that, his time is coming and gone. And he was a great player, but we needed to step up on the defense. And some of those failed plays, that 2-point conversion with Seattle, one of the many plays where we failed and perhaps could have won that game. AJ Hawk, he was a no-show. So
you can't get rid of Haha. So
it's football, and he's had an amazing career. And 9 years, man, wow, that's still a heck of a run.
Jeff Manasso, have a great day, sir.
You too.
All right, Jeff Manasso joining us from Fox News Radio coming up. Melissa Harris-Perry will get your thoughts on what she said. I mean, imagine spending, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 on an Ivy League education, and then you're going, you won't believe what she said. We'll give you a chance to respond next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. It is
the Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
That he lived in a state with a stand your ground law, and I hope he whooped the out of George Zimmerman. Yeah. And it's not disreputableness, because he encountered a stranger who was prepared to kill him, and you know how I know? Because he killed him. That our bodies and voices never forget that we are artists. That white bodies become black bodies when they creatively imagine themselves as a black body, a body that is vulnerable, that is shed of its privileges. That hetero bodies can become queer bodies to the extent that they are willing to lay down with their queer brothers and sisters by shedding our privileges. That male bodies become meaningful bodies, not when they act in militarism and violence against female bodies, but when they act in solidarity with women's bodies. We must never forget the art that our bodies and our voices can make, because the artist is creatively maladjusted, just as Cain called for all of us.
Believe it or not, that was the commencement speech at Cornell University. Melissa Harris Perry from Tulane University, professor there. Imagine what her kids are educated on. And on MSNBC on weekends. That is a publicly traded company by the name of Comcast. That's what they put out. I hope that Trayvon beat the blank out of Zimmerman. And then she's saying that male bodies become female bodies, and just very, very confusing, totally inappropriate. And if I were a parent sending my kid to Cornell, I'd demand a refund. How embarrassing. Speaking of embarrassing, Liberal Steve joins us now with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
What do you mean embarrassing? Every time I hit you on the dial, I get embarrassed.
At least it's a consistent reaction.
Yeah, inconsistent with consistency. That's what you are, dude. And what's wrong with what she said? It made perfect sense. And that security guard has been in trouble ever since for pulling guns, speeding, everything else. And, yeah, I hope he did beat the crap out of him. So there, how's that?
Well, I deplore violence and do not condone that at all.
Oh, how about Bill O'Reilly threatening the people that called him out? Actual threat on the air.
Actually, the false accusations, that's known as slander.
No.
CBS has backed up Bill O'Reilly. So
yeah,
for those
CBS
listening at 580KIDO, you agree with everything coming out of her mouth, advocating violence, saying male bodies should become female bodies, there is no absolution, and we should all just punt.
There you go.
Well,
she has a right to say anything she wants to say.
You know, if I were the dean at Cornell, I would have gotten the hook and.
Yeah, right. Has O'Reilly got the hook yet for his falsehoods and lies?
See, folks, this is the great thing about, and this is why we keep Liberal Steve around. He's actually kind of our pet project here in how the libs think, how the progressives actually come up with a thought. Bill O'Reilly has taken on these false accusations by Mother Jones magazine. He's come up with the memos because they tried to say that he phonied up that he was in the Falklands War. He has actually the CBS filming of him being there, and still Liberal Steve repeats the lies. Now
yeah.
You wonder why. I've said this many, many times. As my daddy says to me, I say to Liberal Steve, son, if you had a brain, you'd be dangerous.
I put a war cross on O'Reilly's chest, but he'd probably pop and deflate. He's such an airhead.
And hold on. You know something? It takes one to know one. Cindy in Boise, you're on with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning. I love your comebacks to Liberal Steve.
Thank you.
That lady's a lunatic, and I can't believe he agrees with her. I know that he's human. Her, I question. I don't believe she's human.
Well, to come up with all those thoughts and everything, and the scary part about it is you have people that will not take a stand, that will not think critically, that will not question and go, yes, black bodies become white bodies, males become females, and you're thinking to yourself, what? And this is a woman that is employed by a private university, a very prestigious one in Tulane, so I guess they agree with her thoughts. And a publicly traded company by Comcast. And I'm thinking to myself, well, gee, imagine if a conservative had said anything near that.
Oh, boy, they'd be arrested and
right.
Put away for life.
The incredible,
if not beheaded.
The incredible double standard, Cindy.
Oh, I know. And it makes me sick. I'm getting really tired of it. And I think Americans really need to stand up and not put up with the discrimination against Americans. It's just a bunch of baloney.
I agree. Cindy, thank you for the call.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Time for traffic now at 580K. Lo and behold, it's good old K. Millie with Linda from Emmett. Good morning, madam.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm living the dream.
Good. Good. My comment is about what they're talking about doing with the Internet, and that's one more loss of one of the things that the Constitution gave us was the freedom of speech. And for to be charged for the use of the Internet, I bet there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have computers and aren't going to use them because they don't know how much it's going to cost. They don't know who is saving what on the other end. It's insanity.
It is insanity, like that woman from MSNBC. Oh. Does she love America?
I don't know. I don't know. I really have to scratch my head on that one. She sure didn't sound very human. And for Cornell to have her as a commencement or as a speaker,
she's got to go. Linda,
I thought better of Cornell than I did.
Great thoughts, Linda. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.